Our scripture this morning is from Matthew. I think this may be the shortest scripture I've ever preached on, two verses. But don't think that gets you out of here any earlier. You'll see here that that both verses are in red. The reason for that is because these are Jesus' words, the very words of our Lord. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad and easy to travel is the path that leads the way to destruction and eternal loss. And there are many who enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow and difficult to travel is the path that leads the way to everlasting life. And there are few who find it. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Pray. Almighty, all-knowing, ever-present Lord, we thank you for your holy, inspired, inerrant word. Powerful and effective. Always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out, never returning void. Sufficient for all things having to do with salvation. Lord, may the Holy Spirit be upon us, that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive what you desire to reveal. And do not let this preacher get in your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There was a newspaper account many years ago in Melbourne, Australia. It was from someone who had heard Billy Graham preach back when he was doing crusades all over the world. And this is what this person wrote to the newspaper. After hearing Dr. Billy Graham on the air, viewing him on television, and reading reports and letters concerning him and his mission, I'm heartily sick of the type of religion that insists my soul needs saving, whatever that means. I've never felt that I was lost, nor do I feel that I daily wallow in the mire of sin, although repetitive preaching insists that I do. Give me a practical religion that teaches gentleness and tolerance and acknowledges no barriers of color or creed, that remembers the aged and teaches children of goodness and not sin. If in order to save my soul I must accept such a philosophy as I have recently heard preached, I prefer to remain forever damned. Thank you. Does that sound like an unreasonable position to you? Have you ever heard someone joke about going to hell like this? At least all my friends will be there. Maybe most people would not be so bold as to say their preference is to be damned rather than to hear about their sin. But they trumpet it loudly in the way that they live. Today's scripture is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has been preaching to his followers for more than two chapters. Here, he is nearing the conclusion. So, Jesus is calling for them to come to a conclusion. That is, to make a choice. And every human being must make the same choice. And not making a deliberate choice is making a choice by default, and a dangerous default, that is. We are constantly called upon to make choices. Most of them are inconsequential, like, what should I have for breakfast? Other choices are monumental, like, should I marry this person? Those bigger choices will always frame the choices that follow. Now, when my parents chose to move to Winthrop, Massachusetts in 1973, it put me in my senior year English class, sitting next to a pretty young girl named Carol. Well, we all know how that turned out. When Carol and I were offered a choice by the Coast Guard to get transferred to Corpus Christi, Texas, or come to Atlantic City to open a new air station, we chose South Jersey. And our younger son met the woman of his dreams here, and many choices naturally flowed from that choice. And when we chose to stay here after retiring from the Coast Guard, we decided to move to our retirement house. That was right across the street from Highland Community Church on 4th Avenue in Galloway and Pastor Tom Douglas. Pastor Tom was critical in helping me find the narrow gate and to enter into it. There is a narrow gate and a wide gate. Well, aren't there other gates? I almost wrote here, unfortunately not, but the truth is that we are fortunate that there are only two possibilities. Otherwise, it would be difficult to know if we were choosing in the right place or if we had to make a series of consecutive choices. Make the right choice and the path will be clear. Not easy, but clear. This way, our choice is always to stay on the right path that leads to everlasting life. Jesus defines the critical choice of our existence. Choose Jesus or choose hell. That's the choice. And here's the thing. Everyone starts out on the broad way. Jesus doesn't tell us in the scripture that we have to enter the broad way like he does for the narrow way, because we're already on it. We all are on the wide gate. We go through that at first. All normal human life is headed in the same destination, destruction, and eternal loss. Yes, we need saving because the alternative is condemnation and the wrath of God. It may seem otherwise. Yes, it is kind of like an interstate highway. It is a road that determines our eternal state. We think that we are making individual choices that will determine our destiny. After all, we get off at certain exits and we get on at other exits. And that's because the interstate system is so vast, but it is still part of the same broad way. One way you can know it's the broad way is because it's so heavily traveled. There are so many others who are all going in the same direction as you. It would be logical to conclude that it must be the right way. And look at that. They even provide rest areas for you to refuel your cars and to feed you. You can watch the Weather Channel and listen to the local radio stations to get the latest traffic updates and news on the road conditions. This way is the normal way. This way has big signs and bright lights. This way hits all the big cities where most people live. People in the know promote the Broadway. Many parts of government control and tax and maintain the Broadway. The TV talking heads advise the mass of travelers. Famous celebrities endorse celebratory cruises along the broad channel. And the highly educated experts validate your choice of the Broadway. After all, everyone is going their way, and it feels good to go with the majority. If by some chance you get weary on the Broadway, don't worry. Take a break. There are plenty of things to occupy your mind, to amuse you, to anesthetize you. The entertainment opportunities are literally endless. There are hundreds of television networks, all with 24-hour programming. And then there's the ever-expanding universe of the internet with no limits, censors, rules, or restraints. And amazingly, we always have instant access via our so-called smartphones. Our restaurants consume large portions of our paychecks. Our taste buds can experience flavors of the whole world. Exotic mixed drinks, sweet liqueurs, beers, ales, wine. Now there's hard lemonades and hard seltzers. They're all readily available when we choose to chill. Cannabis, pharmaceuticals,
And easily accessible illegal drugs can make the broad way better. People no longer need to make a special trip to Las Vegas, which was once called the Sin City. Nowadays, there are sin cities all across our nation, part of the broad way to destruction. Even the government legalizes, endorses, and promotes these activities, which all help keep the travelers on that broad way. Now, none of this should bother atheists, though, right? Like the writer of the letter to the Australian newspaper, for some reason, atheists are more bothered by God talk. Maybe they think they're performing a public service by dismantling the figment of faith. Psalm 14:1. The fool, and in biblical thinking, the fool is the one who is immoral. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. And if you read the rest of Psalm 14, you'll see the proof of the connection between being a fool and immorality. And not incidentally, immorality is the broad way of destruction. Proverbs 12, verse 15. You guys know this verse. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Maybe you're thinking, come on, Pastor, that's all pretty cynical. What about all the religious people out there? Let me remind you that Jesus' harshest criticism was levied at the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were among the most religious people ever. They were legalistic about the religion. They promoted a work-based religion. In fact, if you examine all the religions of the world, all religions of the broad way to destruction, you will find that they promote works-based religion. Somehow, though in different ways, each person can save themselves. They can achieve a higher consciousness or a state of enlightenment. They can do more good than bad. Right? Are you going to heaven? Sure, I'm going to heaven. Well, why? Well, I'm a pretty good guy. I do more good than bad. This makes sense to the human mind. We can get behind this logical way of thinking. Orthodox Christianity teaches that no one is good. No, not one. Only God is good. We can never do enough to earn our salvation. We are saved by grace, through faith in Jesus, who paid our sin debt. Not by work, so that no one may boast. And this is a free gift of God. People find this gift hard to receive. Why? Because it requires humility. It requires coming to Jesus as little children. So then, are not all people who say they are Christians on the narrow path? I mean, after all, haven't I quoted to you on several occasions Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As we learn from the first chapter of James the last 2 weeks, what we do must match what we say. Our faith must result in actions that demonstrate the truth of our faith. It includes living pure lives and ridding ourselves of all uncleanness. The author of Romans, the Apostle Paul, also said, Chapter 6, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Unfortunately, many that profess the name of Christ have not found the narrow gate. They have not entered the narrow gate, which is required. It is a required action of the faith. They are still on the broad way. And the evidence of this claim is that they have brought the way of the world into the church. They argue that we must be more inclusive to our churches again. I'll respond to that with a passage from Luke, chapter 13, a section called The Narrow Door. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. And someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to do so. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' These are people that believe that they were saved. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and the first will be last." In today's passage, Jesus says, "Few will find the small and narrow gate." First note, we must find it. We must be looking for it. We must be searching for it to find it. Most people do not even think it exists, or they have no desire to look for it. Today, when one, two, or three generations in a family are unchurched, it shouldn't surprise us. Prayer and the Bible are banned from the schools. True Christianity is an anathema in the public discourse. Tragically, a different gospel is proclaimed in too many American churches. The Apostle Paul warns against this in Galatians, the first chapter. "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned." Next verse, "As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned." On top of all that, Jesus tells us the cold, hard facts. The narrow gate is tough to navigate. Even when some do find it, they either change their mind, or they mingle about, procrastinating, or they do not wish to release their hold on the world. And you cannot go through the gate if you're holding on to anything from the world. They are like the rich young ruler who would not follow Jesus at the expense of selling all his worldly goods and giving it away. Or they realize it is too difficult a path for them to navigate. Here, let me quote one of my favorite preachers, Alexander McLaren. "Now, people generally read these words as if our Lord was saying, 'Though the one path is narrow and rugged and steep and unfrequented, yet walk on it because it leads to life. And though the other presents the opposite of all these characteristics, yet avoid it, because pleasant and popular as it is, its end is destruction.' But that is not what he says. All four things are reasons for avoiding the one and following the other, which, being turned into plain English, is just this: that we ought to be Christian people precisely because there are difficulties and pains and sacrifices in being so. I'm going to repeat that part. We ought to be Christian people precisely because there are difficulties and pains and sacrifices in being so, which we may ignobly shirk if we like. It is not through, though the road be narrow, it leads to life, therefore enter it, but because it is narrow, it leads to life. Therefore, blessed are the feet that are set upon it. We heard a parallel message from James the last 2 weeks. It is in our trials and our testings and our temptings that we are purified by fire into the image of God. Apostle Peter agrees. 1 Peter chapter 4. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. The Apostle Paul makes a third witness to McLaren's preaching in the words of Jesus. So now we have four witnesses. Romans chapter 5. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So, the narrow gate, the small gate, the narrow and difficult path that leads to everlasting life is not easy. Not easy. But Jesus calls us to take up our cross and to follow him. Jesus calls on us to take his yoke upon us. Jesus calls us to make a choice. Find the narrow gate, enter it, and continue to follow Jesus. Does it bother you that only a few will find it? It should. It certainly bothers me a lot. A few years ago, there was a young African. He was martyred for the cause of Christ. But before he died, he wrote these words. They were found in his room. It said this: I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. My pace is set. My gait is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I won't give up, back up, let up, or shut up until I have preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I must go until he returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes again. And when he comes to get his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear. Pastor Adrian Rogers preached, compare that with the Christianity we see today. We are looking for a cheap way, an easy way, a lazy way to serve the Lord Jesus. But Jesus said, straight is the gate. It is a disciplined way. My brothers and sisters, Let us prepare our hearts for holy communion with Jesus, who said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way, the only way, and there is no other. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Lord, we thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you that you make things clear cut. We thank you that you have called us to be one of your sheep. Heavenly Father, if there's anyone here today that hasn't found a narrow gate and entered in, may they not waste a second and do that immediately. May they not linger and loiter outside the gate. Because their destruction is sure otherwise. Lord, use us to share the good news of Jesus. It's in his name that I pray. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.